Yo, what's sizzling? This be the one them called Tech N9ne, and this is street level, baby, all day, all night, representing.
Dedicated to all the DJs all over the world, man.
One for the treble, two for the bass. Come on, Tech N9ne, let's rock this place.
Tech's in the place, everybody getting many. Punks better come your lady, can't nobody tame me. Blame me for keeping a runny yacht raining. Ladies used to hate me, now they come out, now they pay me. These girls on the job, yeah. Pocket full of socks, yeah. Got a fat notch, yeah. Something don't squat, yeah. Down, down for the block, yeah. Tryna be hot, but you drop. Wanna be shot through the top, but you're not. Twirl. I ain't never seen so much green than when I seen when my team hit the scene. Yeah. It must be a dream. Yeah. Hit the stage, everybody holler. Getting thrown, ripping shows for a bigger dollar. Father, I don't wanna leave nobody too blessed. Yeah. Cause they greedy in the middle of what I do best. Yeah. You finna see me in the TV with a few guests. Yeah. We bout to bubble, baby, get your waterproof vest.
Bout to bubble, bout to bubble.
Internet works.
That's the key. I mean, I've been looking over your sales for the past couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolute Power, 181,000. Angelic, almost 175,000.
No doubt.
All off the internet.
No doubt, man.
Really?
Insanity. Insanity, and you got people that are against it. You know what I mean? I'm like, what would we do without it? I mean, I got orders coming in from Croatia, man. You know what I mean?
Is it primarily, and it's most of your sales are primarily off the internet?
No. Not only that. I'm saying the people that can't get to me, like in the States and stuff like that, they get it through the internet.
Off the MySpace page or off your site?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, as far as over here, like going into record stores and everything like that, man, I mean, it put us on Billboard the first week, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, the EverReady's already got like 30,000 units out.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
What do you think? What percentage of your sales are in the Midwest?
In the Midwest.
Is that your strongest fan base?
No.
Where are you? Where is it the strongest?
Salt Lake City, Utah. Denver, Colorado. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Las Vegas. You know what I mean? Like that. You know what I mean? Crazy.
Isn't that something over on the West, especially Salt Lake City?
I know, man. I mean, I go there for Summer Jam, and 23,000 people will come see me. That's crazy. That's why I said that in Bout to Bubble. I said, storming in Salt Lake City performing for Mormons. You know what I mean?
It seems like the bubble has been bubbling for a long, long time.
Yes, it has, man. It has been bubbling. Actually, it's been bubbling ever since 2001's release, Angelic. We grew it from the ground up, man, and it's turning into something monstrous, and I'm expecting EverReady to take us all the way over the top. What I mean by all the way over the top is that we've never had that success that I feel like we deserve, and what we deserve is platinum plus success. Mm. And the reason why that hasn't happened because I haven't had that constant bombardment on TV and radio, and I think that's what's going to happen. It's already happening with EverReady, you know what I mean? We've been in purgatory for a long time. Now, don't get me wrong. Purgatory has treated me really nice. What I mean by purgatory, I mean by in the middle of blowing up or not. And I've been feeding my children in purgatory. You know, I've been on the road in purgatory. Fans have been treating me really nice in purgatory. But now, heaven will come with EverReady, the religion.
Hey. All you haters, stop. Stop. Woo. Man. This beat is,
they hate it when you bubble.
Sure.
See him in they huddles, always making trouble.
What? Who?
Jealous fellas, man. Fall up in the spot, and from the jump, they don't like me. Hat to the back, and I'm feeling real hyphy.
Sure.
I'm a star, so I'm in with the belly pistol.
Sure.
That's cause the haters be sucking on jelly sickles.
Sure.
That mean the cycle of jealousy's real thick, man.
Sure.
I'm feeling this about to pop off real quick, man.
Sure.
But I ain't trying to have a fetus come and pinch me.
Sure.
Cause he's plotting on my cheddar, on my Minsky.
Sure.
Never tempt me, the Grinch, so you better. Never let a not a nail, not a fella come against me.
Sure.
Up in Missouri, it's Jelly Sickle City. Jealousy watching it, and it ain't the right stare.
The paradox is that you are often at odds with the industry, the whole FTI thing, and
yeah.
you're not alone with us now. Now in the age of the internet, the power of the record labels is starting to wane.
No doubt, man.
But if you succeed in this will be quite a remarkable feat to break out.
And it would be be really wonderful to see the underdog do what he set out to do. You know what I mean? And that's give his music to the rest of the world. Because if the rest of the world ain't talking about you, who the hell are you, man?
Yeah.
And I think my story is big enough and good enough to be embraced by the rest of the world. That's why when I see orders from the CD coming in from Croatia and Italy and all these places, man, crazy. Turkey, man. Turkey. I've done a song with a guy by the name of Ceza. He spells his name C-E-Z-A. Ceza. C-E-Z-A. Out of Turkey. I've never been there, man.
Well, I think maybe it's time to plan a tour.
No, we just did. You know what I'm saying? We just did a show in Copenhagen, Denmark. It was my first time there. Me and Big Chris Calico and Travis and Corey, we all went to Copenhagen, Denmark to do a festival called Roskilde. And Roskilde is spelled R-O-S-K-I-L-D-E, Roskilde Festival. And it had Tool over there.
Mm.
It had Tech N9ne over there. It had Guns N' Roses over there. It had Kanye West over there. It had George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars over there. You know what I mean? Just everybody, man. It was such a big show. And it just let me know that it was growing like a forest fire, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's happening. It's turned out to do what I really wanted to do, and that's give my music to the rest of the world, you know?
Well, bucking the system kind of the way you do, what do you think is the future of the music industry? Are you kind of a pioneer in the change?
Totally, man. I feel like I'm at the forefront of the independence. You know, if you look on the cover of the Source, the brand new Source magazine, it says hip hop states its independence, and my name is first. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful going against the grain, not with a major, this, that, and the other, that it would work for us, man. And I think a lot of other artists are gonna try to start going this route, because when you look at it, when Nelly went out and got his deal with Universal, when he blew up, he did his own thing for real entertainment, for real music. You know what I mean? I think that everybody wants a chance to be able to do their own label thing, man, and state their independence also.
What does it take to do that? I mean,
what does it take to do that? A whole bunch of money, man. And that's crazy, because when you're challenging Universal, when you're challenging Sony, when you're challenging BMG and all these big labels, man, you know what I'm saying? They have the big budgets, and they can put more money toward a radio campaign to make you blow.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with independent money, it's not as much money, because you have to make that money, you know, and it's like you're treading slowly, but the more you tread, the bigger it gets, and then people start seeing you on the mainstream side, like, how did he get on Billboard, you know what I'm saying, him being independent, you know what I'm saying, and it's a wonderful feeling, you know what I'm saying, but it takes a whole bunch to start it just yourself, man, a whole bunch, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it and make it seem like, oh, it's nothing, because it's something. When you ask Travis O'Gwynn, ask him how many years he's carrying out the pocket to make Tech N9ne what he is right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, and you're feeding some of it back with Strange Music, because now you're bringing on a whole new group of performers on that label, on your label as well.
Totally, man. We have Cut Calhoun. His new album will be, he'll start on his new album soon. It's called Feature Presentation. We just signed a new rock band to our label out of Detroit, Michigan, by the name of Critical Bill. You know what I'm sizzling? We also have Scatterman and Snug Brim from the Kansas City side.
Mm.
It's coming out with Oil and no, it's called Word on the Street. Word on the Street, they're coming out with Word on the Street. And another Michigan-based group by the name of Project Dead Man, PDM, that's Mikey Clark and Prozac, you know what I'm saying? They're coming out with Horrific Thoughts. Big Chris Calico is going to start construction really, really soon.
Mm.
And then me and Chris Calico are going to venture into this rock music and do a group by the name of Kibosh. We don't spell it like it is. The original spelling of the word Kibosh is K-I-B-O-S-H.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But we spelled it K-A-B-O-S-H, and that stands for Killing America's Beliefs on Society's Hoods.
And now for America's number one show, The Hood Connection. Connection with your host, Rob Effect.
Hood Connect. It's strictly about the sex. It's the Hood Connect.
Thank you.
We get better bits and take a check. The Hood Connect. It's strictly about the sex. It's just the Hood Connect.
Well, hello and welcome to the Hood Connection. Today's contestant happens to be torn between three women. That's his wife, his bitch, and his girl. I can't wait to see how this one pans out. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Are you a dope? It's gonna be wonderful, man. It's gonna be ghetto rock. So, Strange Music has a lot coming up, man. Also, on January 27th, that movie Alpha Dog by Nick Cassavetes.
You've got some music in that.
Yes, man. It's finally gonna come out. I mean, it was supposed to come out last year. But it was a true story. It's a true story. And they found Jesse James Hollywood in Brazil. And if they would have put that movie out during his court proceedings, they would have crucified him because that movie paints a dark picture of him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're not familiar with the story, it's about a guy who got this 15-year-old kid killed, you know, saying kidnapped him because his brother owed him money. You know what I mean? Crazy. Justin Timberlake is in a movie. He did a beautiful job. When you see it, you're going to say, oh, my goodness, Justin did a wonderful job. Emil Hirsch is in the movie. Ben Foster did a stand-up job in the movie. I'm not just saying this because I did music in it. I'm talking about this is a really, really good movie. Sharon Stone did a wonderful job. Bruce Willis did a wonderful job.
Hell of a movie.
Man, it's going to be so huge. And for me to have music inside that movie, it's going to be really huge for us.
And you're credited.
Yes, totally.
Great.
You know what I mean? I got with one of the composers that usually do music for Nick Cassavetes' movies. Nick Cassavetes, if you're not familiar, he did Face Off. He did John Q. He did the chick flick called The Notebook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Alpha Dog is his next movie. You know what I mean? And he called us. He called him and his wife, Queenie. They go out and buy like 10 CDs every other week. And they go through them and see if they like them. And I happen to be one of those 10 CDs that they found in Tower Music. You know what I'm sizzling?
Mm.
And they called the number on the back of the CD. They said they sat in front of their house and listened to that whole CD all the way through and enjoyed it. And he called me and asked me to be a part of making the music for his movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's big for Strange Music, man. I've been waiting on that so much, man, or so long. You know what I'm saying? I've been waiting on that because I would really love, I've never heard my music in a movie throughout my whole entire career.
Tech 9, baby.
The rappers I commission, to them out they about to listen. Do it up, re-rock conditions, make you bounce without permission. Check it out, we about to glisten, bring them out, we scat them chickens. We don't need no strife in this, cause life's a bitch, never doubt we dizzling. Better triple lock your vixen, cause I make them rock with diction. Let go inhibitions and hit them this one with all the fixins.
So put the knife away, party your life away.
Hardly evil, cause we the party people.
Tonight and night.
And you keep mentioning this struggle to break as as purgatory.
Yeah.
And your lyrics are often full of themes of suicide and psychosis and
totally.
And in fact you even have come up with various persona to embody that the king and the clown
and the G
and the G.
What
if it does click? Will these personas no longer be necessary to carry you through the hard times?
I hope the clown be muffled one day. You know what I'm saying? Because the clown is, I use the darkness. I love being the clown. Are you here still?
I'm here.
I love being the clown. I love the clown as a part of me, but there's a dark side of me. You know what I'm saying? There's a dark side of me, and I want a lighter life. You know what I'm sizzling? The clown was what got me on drugs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, the clown is the reason why I took 15 X pills in one night in L.A. and almost died. You know what I'm saying?
My God.
The clown is that reason. The clown is the reason why I've had, I ain't going to say that about my wife. You know what I'm saying? But me and my wife are separated now. You know what I mean? And it's the clown. You know what I'm saying? It's the clown. It's the clown in me. It's the idiot in me that made me lose something that was that wonderful to me. Thank God that me and my wife are still the best of friends. You know what I'm saying? And me and my kids, we can still go out and party and take them wherever they. I was just there for Thanksgiving. We had a wonderful time, and they're my reasons for living. It's the clown. So I don't know if I do break. I mean, all the way, because we're breaking. It's inevitable. But the way we're talking about me and Travis's expectations are astronomical. So I'm anxious to see what's going to happen to the King, the Clown, and the G. You know what I mean? I have no idea. I mean, I write my life as it progresses, as it gets worse. I have no idea. I can't predict what's going to happen, positive or negative. I can't. I predict, and I wish I could. But it's so exciting to know that those characteristics are all within me, me being three-dimensional cat. You know, it's not just a gimmick, man. When you read those characteristics in that album, that's me digging into myself and seeing the King being high-headed. You know what I'm saying? Seeing the G being, what's the word I'm looking for? Compassionate. You know what I mean?
What does the G stand for?
Well, my past. If you read the G, it says this guy has been through a lot of deadly courses in life. One, gang banging, drugs, this, that, and the other. So G stands for gangster. You know what I'm saying? From back in the day. You know what I mean? And that's what, I mean, growing up with the 57th Street Road Dogg villains and this, that, and the, you'll pick up gangster mentalities. And over the years, going through all that and going to funerals, through the gang banging and all that, man, you start to pick up a sense of, you know what I'm saying, worth of life. You know what I mean? I know I did. You know what I'm saying? And life is worth a whole bunch, man. And to see all these young cats die over money and over colors and over drugs and stuff like that, man, I feel like it makes you realize that life is very, very important and how we were wasting it away. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And the G understands pain and strife. So therefore, he don't want no more of it. He wants peace. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He wants peace. He wants to relax with his children.
The spike red hair and the painting his face. Whoa, hold on, man. Tech is losing it, man.
He's not as grounded as he used to be.
Tech was a devil worshiper.
Now you seen a black dude with red hair and a long beard. I mean, look, he looks scary to me, too.
And that nigga Tech, man, he's selling out, man. That's he doing that shit for the white folks. That's white shit he doing, man.
Hey, I've been bussin' and fizz knuckin' bitches. It is nothing for years puffin'. I've been clutchin' riches from his muffin. Here's fuck you niggas, this is tough and I
don't know what the fuck you thinkin'. Tellin' me this shit is hella fake.
Say, since way back in the days rappin', the blaze happened. I raised raves, crazed days was blade packin' and stayed saggin'. They's whackin', Nina stay laid back and I hey, this is amazing how niggas formulate their hate and you fucking fornicate your mistaken. We can never correlate because you fake.
Stronger man. Who's bringing in, you know what I'm saying? I hate that we had to belong to something that negative back then. Man, I wish we could, because everybody wants to belong to something. You know what I'm saying? But it's just horrible that, you know, a lot of us kids out of the ghetto or out of the suburbs or whatever want to belong to something. But I wish we could belong to something way positive and something way negative, man. You know what I mean?
Well, telling people about this might help them understand that's not the only way.
Say it again?
Telling people about this and the way that you're doing it will help them understand that there are other ways of figuring things out.
No doubt. And see, it sounds funny when I say it, but when I tell new fans, they say, what do you want the world to take away from Tech N9ne? If you happen to leave right now or just disappear right now, what would you want the world to take away from your music? And I was like, I want you to listen to Tech N9ne and know that I'm just, you know, a roller coaster ride, man. You know what I'm saying? A roller coaster ride of emotion. you know what I'm sizzling, cry with me, laugh with me, party with me, you know what I'm sizzling, do whatever you're doing with me, but just know that this, and it sounds crazy for me to say this, but this is a perfect example of what not to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't lose your wife. You know what I'm saying? Don't almost die on drugs. Listen to my stories and see what happened to me, and then make the way you're living around that. You know what I'm saying? If you're thinking that's cool that I did that, you know what I'm saying? Check out the result. It's like I can only give you my life.
Right.
So I'm sorry that I have to give you sorrowful stories. You know what I'm saying?
Many people have fallen in the music business. It's the ones that get through and persevere that really have the stories to tell.
Totally, man. And I got a lot more. And I wish, like, it's a song on the album Ever Ready called Running Out of Time.
Pain.
What is it?
Originally penalty, physically or mentally, sensations you feel when you hurt and distressed. A bit of anguish can bring you closer to your death because of the lack of success. Now, time ain't on my side because I'm trying to find my peace of mind and rhyme. But the catch is you got to have the paper to shine. If we don't, I'm sorry, we might have to do capers, do crime. Because my mom is sick, doc, I'm gridlocked. Epilepsy and lupus, Alfred Hitchcock. Couldn't write the suspense and shit on this block. Fist cocked when I'm walking, my lips locked. IRS and the child division. They want to shut a nigga down to the ground. Gotta make this shit pop.
You were born and raised in Kansas City?
Born and raised in Kansas City, man.
From a pretty religious background.
Yes, totally. You know, everybody in my family, all the younger generation, are turning into ministers. You know what I mean? And it's ironic that I come out on stage with a bishop's robe.
Well, you're preaching some way, you know?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I got a lot of followers, too, man. I got a whole bunch of followers that come to see Bishop Tech on stage, tell you about his crazy life. You know what I mean?
You're referred to often in the music papers as being one of the foremost proponents of Midwestern style.
Yeah.
Which I can gather means a faster rap.
Yeah, that's what how people look at it when you look at Twista from Chicago, when you look at Bone Thugs and Harmony from Cleveland. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, Ludacris is from Chicago, but he reps Atlanta. You know what I mean? Eminem. You know what I'm saying? When you think about Midwestern style, man, it's like musical overload. You know what I'm saying? Crucial Conflict. You know what I mean? Crazy. You know, about everything, even the Brat. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's musical overload. You know what I'm saying? Because we're right dab in the middle, and we're getting it from every direction. What I mean by it is music, you know what I'm saying? Music from the West Coast since back in the day. Music from the East Coast since back in the day. Music from down south.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking in all that music, we got so much to say and such little time to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned into our style, like, you know what I mean? Computerism, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Show day is stressful, everybody wanna call, gotta tell them all sometimes. Sit up in the record store, 700 fans, man, everyone signs. And it gets so hard telling them all, please try to form one line. With the player haters combined, I don't think you know how much of a strain it's been. I can't explain, it's insane, but I wouldn't give up a thing. I live with the pain and resort to brain tripping. I need a little release, something to stop my rage. I really need me a moment of peace. So baby girl, when I step on stage,
like it's Mardi Gras. Girl, take off your bra. Talking to all of y'all. This is a party call. This song ain't about you, but I really love it when you, if you're with me, we can
smash my baby doll.
Like it's Mardi Gras. Girl, take off your bra. Talking to all of y'all. This is a party call.
Rap music has gone through a lot of criticism, or at least it's gone through a shift lately, about language and the tone of the music. And in today's LA Times, Paul Mooney, who, have you ever heard of Paul Mooney?
Yeah, I know Paul Mooney. They're talking about Michael Richards and him saying the nigger word. And
all that stuff. What do you think about that?
Oh, my God, man, it's insanity. I mean, when you think about it, Tom, if you're on the streets and you're in the trenches like we are and you got white kids calling themselves niggers, it's turned into this word that means partner or friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that word is forbidden. We've been knowing since kids. We've been knowing. So it's like, and you got the double standard to where us as black folks, we say we can say it, but you can't say it. I know you. You know that.
Oh yeah.
You know that double standard exists.
Oh yeah. Well, part of it too is, you know, you take the word over and use it so it loses its power.
Exactly, and that's what happened. But at the same time, it's still so relevant that this word is a negative word, and it will be till we die, no matter how we use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we got to be careful how we use it and where we use it. And Michael Richards actually feels like, you know, we would have hung you upside down and put forks in your ass or whatever. He can't say it out in public. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
like when I'm in the airport, I don't say it all loud. Ah, nigga, that nigga. Hey, Chris Gallagher, you my nigga.
Yeah.
I don't say it when I'm talking in regular with my friends and whatever. Have you ever seen white chicks and they're all in the car and they're singing and 50 Cent come on and they start singing, figure your nigga, figure. And the rest of the white girls in the car are like, you said the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, so? Nobody's around. And then they all start singing it. That's so real, man.
Nobody's around.
Yeah.
Do you think you
can't blurt it out in public like that. You cannot. We were just talking to Cut Calhoun on the way from Orlando about using your inside voice. Your mom and your dad taught you to use your inside voice when you're on the inside. That means keep it low so you won't interrupt anybody else if it's vulgar, if it's offensive. You know what I'm saying? Keep it in our circle.
Yeah.
Don't have this loud and boisterous voice. You know what I'm saying? This, that, and other. We were just having this conversation, and that's the same thing with Michael Richards. He was supposed to be using his inside voice when it came to his views, if he actually felt like that through anger or whatever. That's crazy. Now he let the whole world know what he could be thinking, and they're going to put extras on it like, oh, he's a white supremacist. He don't even look white to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, do you think that moral, now, if that implies a moral responsibility, what about the other popular words or the favorite words of rap, like bitch and hoe?
I think bitch and hoe and nigga will last for the rest of time. Let me tell you why, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it sounds crazy, but rap ain't the only music that use bitch and hoe. We just frequent those words. Yeah. You know, ask Rose if he's ever said bitch or hoe. You know what I mean? And the reason why that they will exist is because there's a such thing as a bitch, there's a such thing as a hoe, and there's a such thing as a lady. Now, I've been with all three. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A bitch will do you wrong behind your back and I don't want to curse, but she'll have sexual relations or be carnal with your close friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you behind your back. A hoe gets paid to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A woman is respectful, and you respect her, and you don't say bitch or a hoe to that woman. I married a woman. LaKoya LaJean is a woman. That is a real woman. I married a woman. I did not marry a bitch or a hoe. Now, I love bitches and hoes. You know what I'm saying? And women. I love the female species. I think the best thing that ever happened to us. Everybody is entitled to be treated like a human being. That's what I'm on. I'm on treat me like a human being. We all drink. We all eat. We all sleep. We all have bowel movements, everything. You know what I'm saying? We're all the same in that aspect.
You don't think that those words bother women the same way the N-word would bother a black man or a black person?
I know that bothers women. I know it bothers women that we say bitch and hoe, but let me tell you, a woman knows she's not a bitch or a hoe, and she's supposed to know that they ain't talking to me when they say that. You know what I'm saying? Or when a cat come to me and say, you're a dumb nigger. I'll never hear that because I ain't no dumb nigger. Now, I can get niggerish and loud and boisterous if somebody pisses me off. You know what I'm sizzling? And
sure.
We have, you know, but it's like certain things you can't do in public, man. And that word is going to be negative until this world is over. It will be negative. Now, Paul Mooney said he's going to take it out of his act. I can't wait to see that happen because he uses it so much.
I know.
You know, I can't wait to see how that's going to work out.
He's not going to have much to say.
And then, don't get me wrong, because I don't want to talk down on Paul Mooney because he's a real intelligent guy, you know what I'm saying? But for him not to say nigga, I like to see that, you know what I'm saying? But
in a world of misery, within this three planets collide, Brother Lynch, Dilemma, Tech 9, bring you along.
Wait a minute, I'm from the West Coast Conference, like Kobe or James Worthy. You can just call me the king of the valley. All I need is a game jersey. Nigga nuts and gats get served up when I get it all spit enough. Came sturdy. Cut it up, got it up, with cold cuts for the oven that heated up, came dirty. I'll be off of that kryptonite. Turn him into liquid ice, stain his jersey. Leave him in the back of the Elko, like up the scalp, stick it to him like Velcro. Nigga, I'm a bitch killer. I'ma dig a ditch quick to rip ya. Paint a murder picture with ya. I'ma jack knife, strip you that night. Split your legs open to dick you with the 9mm. Take a rip in your guts, eat your meat, deep peach, you bleach you with the meat.
Do you think an artist has moral responsibilities, or is the artist's responsibility just to create and let people learn from that?
Well, I think it goes both ways. I think we do have a responsibility, because if I get out there and say, everybody take ecstasy with me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And kids start doing it, then they're going to look at me like, my kid died because you said that. So we do have a responsibility. We have to be careful of what we say. You know what I'm saying? In teaching what I do and telling my story, I got to be careful. I tell everybody, like, this ain't the way it is at the end. You know what I'm saying? We have a responsibility to do that in telling our stories, because our stories are morbid, and my story is way morbid.
Insanity at its finest. Firestarter. Riot Maker, Moonstricken, Animal Need, Bad Seed, Untamable.
Everybody around me always think they know what's going on inside my mind. Think I'm Mr. Nice Guy all the time. How they say on diary, you think you know, but you have no idea.
Come go home, get 50, must make more dope. We will be shaking your flow. Come against me, that's a no-no.
I can smell you're a woman's Rosy Punani on the dance floor all the way in VIP. I'm a rapper, I can snatch her, and she will leave with me because I'm a statue. Now everybody move, everybody bounce, whoever the Nina choose, we about to pounce. With the 151 in the bottle, I call her, fully let me hit this model.
What the key is, in parenting.
Do your kids like your music?
What'd you say?
Do your kids like your music?
They love my music. They're the biggest Tech N9ne fans in the world. That's why I do this, Tom. That's why I do this. Now, let me tell you something we did. LaKoya Lejeune, that woman that I married, not bitch or hoe, this woman, this really lovely lady that I married and I lost because I'm crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She raised those kids, man. We together, they know curse words, but they know not to say them. We teach them as parents. We've never had their teachers write us letters saying Lily and Rain or Dantes, they're using profanity in school. Never, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that's where it stops. Now, we have, as artists, we have a responsibility to be careful or tell our story the correct way, you know what I'm saying, with a message at the end. But the parents have a responsibility to look after their children. And if they don't want their children to do this certain thing, then they have to put their foot down and know how to discipline their children, because a lot of these parents are afraid of their children and don't know how to guide them. And that's why their kids end up shooting up schools and blowing up buildings. Mm. You know what I'm saying? No guidance. That's what stops. I don't care. Music, okay, whatever. Yeah, we have a responsibility. But the parent has to be the one right there. And I know, because I'm a parent and I see how my kids are turning out. And I'm a proud father.
Enter Ever Ready.
So we rolling. Just left Billings, Montana. Did a dope-ass show. We in a 15-passenger van, headed to Spokane, Washington. We driving along the interstate. We go over this bridge, hit a patch of ice. All of a sudden, the van starts fishtailing. We're going back and forth. I'm like, whoa. Chris says, you got it, Sean.
You got it. I think you got it, man. But we went sliding further and further towards the embankment. Boom, we hit it. We flipped like 5 times. All the windows start breaking out in the van. And I'm like, oh, God, while we flipping it, finally we stop. I'm looking around the van to see if everybody's all right. First person I looked at was Big Nick, because I see him jumping out first. He runs to the doors because they crushed in, and he starts grabbing them, trying to rip them open like, I yank the doors open. I'm yelling out, Tech, are you all right, man? Cut, are you all right? Cut raises up, and I see he's drenched from all the bottles of alcohol that we had in the van from last night. And I say, Cut, man, are you cool? He says, yeah, I'm cool,
man, I'm cool. So I'm wiping my face. I'm thinking I'm bleeding. I look at my hands. There ain't nothing but the liquor. So I look around. Everybody up and moving. Tech still on the floor. I'm like, Tech, you all right? He ain't saying nothing. I'm like, oh, man. Tech, you all right? He sits up and like, Cut, I'm fine, man.
I'm
fine, man. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I asked him, I said, anything wrong with my face? Anything on my face? And Kev was like, nah. So I'm like, I'm listening, and I touch my teeth, and I see blood in my mouth. But I'm smiling because I'm hearing Chris Calico say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it felt good to be in God's graces. And the ambulance, the people that came, they said that we were all blessed, you know what I'm saying, to still be alive after flipping five times, man. So ever since then, we've been celebrating life, baby, kicking it hard. Every day's a party, baby.
Party, baby. Party, baby. Party.